When we acknowledge the earth, does she acknowledge us? Does she recognize you? Does she see you as a relative? That's going to depend on how you behave. Now, family can be problematic. I hear that. I have family too. Things come up. And we can choose how we respond to those situations. That's, again, a decision, an inflection point in time, in the now. All we have is now. What are you going to do now, given that this is what you know, what you understand? And we can choose how we're going to respond to family. And sometimes we choose to ignore them. That is a choice. If we ignore our Mother Earth, is she going to have somebody to respond to? Does she know who you are? It matters in how you conduct yourself with respect to your mother and with respect to all of your family. All of these things matter. Words have power. Breath has power. Most of the creation stories around the world tell us that what we see came into existence through song or words that were spoken. Most traditions will tell us this. So it really matters, this basic thing called air that we can't see. What you can't see matters as much as what you can see, although we tend to fool ourselves around that as well. So it's the values that undergird it that matter the most, the values that you carry. And different cultures have different values, and some have proven themselves better than others. I would submit that indigenous people in the places where they are have learned ways of being in those places that would fit the word sustainable, because they're ongoing for thousands of years. They're not static. They change. They adapt. That's the process of continual creation, change. You need to embrace it. Stop trying to control things and keep them exactly the way they are. That sense of security. When you can move through the world knowing that these are all our relatives, and that we are gifted everything we could possibly need, not want, need, you can be comfortable in that. It doesn't mean things happen that are not to your liking, or that move things in a direction away from balance. They will happen. That is the process of balancing back and forth. Our charge is to try to move things, help move things back toward balance by responding appropriately, instead of, you know, kicking against it and resisting and fighting. That's not going to get you anywhere. Besides further down, that process of disintegration. In the Abenaki language, we have words that are root words. It's a compounding language. We have root words that show up often. I would describe today by saying Ulagiskat. It is a good day. They're all good days. What's the alternative? Ulagiskat, and it has this word in the beginning, uli, which we spell W-L-I nowadays in modern orthography. It was not ever a written language. It was spoken. Everything that's written was once spoken. So it's the spoken part that comes first. That's where that breath, that air, that power of creation, that's the important part. So when we say uli, W-L-I, it's usually translated in English as good, right? I said to you, it's a good day. Uli. We see this in many other words. Uliuni, thank you. Loosely translated as good returns. Uli nana wala mezi, That's a big word. Take good care of yourself. It doesn't actually mean uli. That is a Western binary way of thinking, splitting things into very different parts, usually two of them. Uli does not really mean good, but it's what we think of as good. What it means is it's referring to the process of keeping things in balance. It's the balance part in the middle that's the important part, not the extremes, not the good or bad. These are parts of the same thing. You've heard this before. Uli means, in a better way of thinking, it means to affirm, to support, to invigorate, to enliven, to forward. And it's a way of countering the balance of life, which goes in a different direction. And the word we use for that is madzi, which is often translated as bad. It's not bad. It is the countering, balancing part of uli, and it means to end, to finish, to shut down. And so you can see that affirm, enliven, and finish or end are two parts of a way of being. It can go this way or it can go this way, and too much of each is not good. I slip into English so easily there. It's what I grew up with. We need both. We need both to stay in balance, and that is a continual, ongoing process of creation, something we are called to in the moment, in the now, to make these decisions. That's our responsibility, our issue. Does that make sense? I think it does. It's really, really basic. It can get very complex. But if you can remind yourself of the basics, if you can bring yourself back to that reference point, to that grounding, it's really helpful, I have found. I was not raised this way, a confession. I was raised as a son of a Pentecostal preacher. And so good and bad were very clear to me, or they tried to make it clear. You know, we struggle with these things growing up. And most of my family are still in that way of being. And I landed in a different place. Being in Vermont had something to do with that, I think. I came here as a very young person because it seemed like there were other possibilities. And there were. And I had no idea what direction they were going to go in. All I know is this is where I am now. Here with you, with my family, the Longomomec, my relatives. And I'm pretty happy about that. So it's a good day. I'm looking forward to the next one. I'm grateful for the ones that have already been gifted to me. My resting state, I have to remind myself of this, of course. My resting state is summed up in a word in a Beneke that is used to express I am grateful. And that word is Ndalamizi. Ndalamizi. I'll break that down for you. Compound language. So there's 1, 2, 3 words inside that one word. And the language can seem completely unapproachable until you start to realize that it's all about what it's made of, which is, you know, life. And so in this word, Ndalamizi, we start with the N at the beginning, and the N is a personal pronoun. I'm referring to myself here, you know, first, second, third person. So that's the first person. And the word is N, and it has a materiality to it in the way we vocalize this when we say, Think about where the sound's coming from. Mm. It's an inside sound. And that's talking about here. I'm talking about me, inside of me. Mm. It's in the language. Just to carry that metaphor out a little bit, the second person is k. We start a word when I'm referring to you as k. Think about the sound. It's an outward sound, k. A little breath going out, all right? I'm acknowledging you with my breath and with this sound that I made. I'm acknowledging you, k. It's kind of like a little short breath. You're nearby. You're proximate to me. So that's the physicality, the materiality of that sound. The third person, you're waiting for this, right? The third person letter to begin a compound word is W. We pronounce that as U. U. That's a W sound. W. U. And it's, again, an outward sound. U. U. I am actually pointing with my mouth. U. So I'm indicating some distance. That's the third person. Those people over there. Not me or you, but them. Ooh. So it's beautiful in that way. So I start out by saying, I'm talking about me. And then I connect that with the rest of the word, alamizi, with the letter D. It's just sort of a linguistic practice to link pronouns with the rest of the word, with the D. So we'll just leave that as a connector. Ndalamizi, and then I say Allah. Allah is a root word that means the way this happens. It is expected, it is usual, it is typical. This is the way it is, Allah. And we'll see this word Allah in many other forms as Allah or La or Li or something like that. But it's talking about the way. This is the basis of it. And then mizi is the ending, the suffix, and that is again a personal suffix, and it refers to a sense, one of our basic senses. It's the sense of looking inside of yourself. Mizi. I sense this of myself. I'm looking into my heart, and I'm trying to understand where I am right now. So when I say ndala mizi, I sense that I am in the typical way. And this means I am grateful. There's your resting state. You're recognizing that all these gifts are around you. And then, if that's the case, what do you do about it? You know, back to the now. What am I going to do right now? Because all we have is now. Time is an illusion. There is no past. Past is here. There is no future. The future is here. It depends on what we do right now with what we have been given. The past, making the future. What am I going to do? I am going to reciprocate. I am going to return thanks. I'm going to acknowledge who's here, what I've been gifted, and I'm going to give back. And that is a relationship with a relative, reciprocal relationship. You've heard it before. It's really basic. What are you going to do now? Do some uli things. Affirm, uplift, support, acknowledge. A basic understanding that I've come to recently, referring to our mother, recognizing what she gives all of us, is embodied in the in the Abenaki word for learning, when we are given understanding or knowledge or wisdom, we use a word that is agaki. That's the word that shows up when we're talking about learning or teaching, which are the same thing. Depends on which side of the dynamic you are, right? Learning and teaching. Much of our learning is a self-teaching process. So the word that's used is agaki. We can break this word down into two words, A-G-A-K-I, agaki, two words, aga, and then sort of blending in A-K-I. We kind of blend the A together. Agaki, they share the A. And the word ag or oak means to. Again, it's a verb, right? It's referring to an action, something that's happening. It means to cover something. Could be, you know, in a material sense, it could be with paper, with bark, with soil, anything that's being covered up, but the something's still down there, okay? And then that covering can be removed. It can be shown. It can be engaged with. And what is being covered and what is being revealed, ki, aki, the earth. And so if agaki means to teach or to learn, and that is described to us by revelation from the earth, it's like, where does it all come from? Our mother. And, yeah, I'll wrap this up. But on this note, it's a high note. If that's the case, you can literally walk out the door, go meet the relatives, talk to our mother, and you can learn. There's an academic term for this. It's a pedagogy of the land. Like they put fancy words on this, and you can go out and learn from the land, from a paper that somebody wrote, or you can actually go out and do that. So I want to encourage you to do that. Go meet the relatives. Go talk to your mother. If you don't know Abenaki, it's okay. She knows English as well. Been here for a while. But we can learn from each other, from our mother, from all of our relations. And I wish you well on that journey. Uliwuni, thank you. I didn't introduce this one who is here with us. This is sweetgrass. Uliwon kiel miskikoasis. The little one that smells good. And this brings good things, and I wish that as well for you.